after. Somebody's texting me. All right. Somebody take your Bible, look in Matthew chapter 5. Sermon on the Mount. Sermon on the Mount. Hallelujah. Verse 13. He says, "Ye are the salt of the earth, but if the salt had lost the savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is therefore good for what? Nothing. But if it be cast out and be trodden under foot of men, ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets." Jesus said the law was good. And the law the Bible tells us, converting the soul. The law can convert the soul. It tells you that in Psalms chapter 19. Converting the soul. So the Bible tells us that the law is good. And the law, and it says law and the prophets is good. And I am not come to destroy, but fulfill it. He says, "But verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass away, one jot or one title shall be not in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. Whosoever therefore shall break the one of these least commandments shall teach men, so he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. And but whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven." Now, you know, we realize when we got saved by grace through faith plus nothing. But when it comes to the law, the Bible says the law was good. It was good. It was the law was what brought a man to Christ. Take your Bible, look in Galatians chapter 3. The law was good. And if a man keep the law, the Bible says the law was for sinners, not for a righteous man. So, and when a person starts telling me, "Oh, I'm a good person," and all that stuff, you start asking them, you bring them under the law. And under the law, you say, "Have you ever stole? Have you ever stole?" And they'll say, "Well, yeah, I've stole something. I stole a little bit here and there." "Have you ever lied? Have you ever lied?" And they'll say, "Well, you know, I told a little white lie once in a while." Have you ever looked at a woman to lust after? Have you ever done that? And the law tells us, you know, matter of fact, have you not worshiped the Lord your God? That's part of the law. Have you worshiped graven images? So the law was a condemner when it comes to a sinner. And what happens to most Christians these days, or the world, and saved people, I think what it is, they don't realize what God really brought them from. And when it comes to the law brought us down. It showed us that we were sinners. We needed a Savior. We needed Jesus Christ more than anything else. And without him, you're doomed, man. Without the Lord Jesus Christ, and that's what the law was to show us. Look in Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3. Look what it says. If you don't have these underlined, you need to underline them. And it says, "Is the law," verse 21, "is the law then against the promises of God? God forbid, no. For if there had been a law given which should have given life, verily righteousness should have been by the law. But the scriptures have concluded all under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. But before faith came, we were kept under law, shut up on the faith which should afterwards be revealed. Wherefore the law was our," what? Schoolmaster. Schoolmaster. Now, the Bible tells us the law was good. It says the law converts the soul. And it does. The law does. Why? It shows you that you're a sinner. The Bible said, "For all have sinned, come short of the glory of God." Man, the rich young ruler came to Jesus, and Jesus said, "Lord, I've kept all the law." He said, "You know, I've done everything right. I've done everything right." Then the Lord said, "Oh, well, sell everything you have and give it to the poor." The problem was he loved money. He loved money. And he said, he walked away very sorrowfully. And what happens when the law comes into man's life, it condemns him. The law will condemn him. It says the law is not for the righteous, but for the sinners. And we're all sinners under the law. For the Bible says, "Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. So when a person starts saying, well, I'm a good person, I lived a good life, I've done this, I've given to the poor, I've kept, you know, this and I've done that, but then you can't get around the law. The law will condemn you. And the Bible says the law was a schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. Now look at this. Look back at verse 17. This I say, that the covenant that was confirmed before of God in Christ the law, which was 430 years after, cannot disannul, that it should make the promise of none effect. For if the inheritance be of the law, it is no more of promise, but God gave it to Abraham by promise. Abraham wasn't under the law. Abraham was under a promise from God. And then you go on down and says, wherefore then serveth the law? It was added because of transgression till the seed should come to whom the promise was made. And it says, and it was ordained by angels in the hand of a mediator. Now, a mediator is not a mediator of one, but of God is one. And then it goes on about the law against the promises of God. No, it's not. Look over to verse 25. But after that faith has come, we are no longer under a what? Schoolmaster. I'm not under law to get to heaven. I'm not trusting the law to get me to heaven. I've trusted Jesus Christ. Why? Because I showed the Lord. The law showed me I was a sinner. A person, we've dealt with so many people, and you say, are you a sinner? They say, no, I'm not a sinner. Then you can't get saved. The law is shows you, and when you start showing them the law, have you ever committed any sin against God? No, I haven't done that. Well, have you lust against your neighbor's wife? That's the law. Have you ever stole, and so on? You go through those laws, and then the law will condemn them. And when a person realizes there was no way out, there was no way but through Jesus Christ to escape hell, then, boy, that person will get a hold of something and say, man, thank you, Lord. They'll be thankful. Why? Because they were condemned already. I mean, if a person's not saved, that they're condemned already. The Bible tells us that. The Bible tells us that a man's condemned and is on his way to hell. And that's, you know, so that it says, verse 25, after that faith has come, we are no longer the schoolmaster. For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you have been baptized into Christ, have put on Christ. That's not water. That's the blood baptized into Christ. It says, as many as you have been baptized into Christ, have put on Christ. Neither is there Jew nor Greek. Neither is there bond or free. There is neither male or female. For ye are all one in Christ Jesus. If ye be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed, heirs according to the promise. Said, if you're in Christ, you're spiritually Abraham's seed when it comes to that, by faith. We're not physically Abraham's seed. We're spiritually Abraham's seed. Why? Because Abraham received a promise by faith, by faith. And when a person gets saved, they're saying, okay, God, we're trusting you. We trust your promises. He said, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. That's a promise. You can make it through this world as a Christian by God's promises. He said, but my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. That's a promise. But most Christians don't trust the promises. They get saved. They claim they got saved. The law was what brought us to Christ and realized you were on your way to hell without him. And like I said, until a person understands they're on their way to hell without Jesus Christ because the law condemns them, they can't get saved. And then what happens is, Christian, as they get saved, you're supposed to trust the promises of God. You're supposed to say, Lord, I believe what you said. I'm going to trust you. I know you said you'll supply all my needs. I know you said I can do all things through Christ which will strengthen me. You know, I found so many Christians that won't trust Christ, won't trust Jesus Christ to take care of the needs that they have. They won't trust Jesus Christ to overcome things in their life. They don't trust him. They won't trust him for that. What you say, you got a problem with lying. Say, Lord, help me with that lying. Tell the Lord, Lord, help me a lot about my lying. Help me with my filthy mouth. I prayed that when I got saved. I said, Lord, I got filthy mouth. Can help me clean my mouth up. God, and Lord, help me to trust you. Help me, God, to have faith in you. And we know faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. So what happens to most Christians, they get to the place where they don't trust God. They don't take his promises. And then they said, well, I can do all things through Christ's strength. The Bible says that in Philippians chapter 4, verse 13. Then they said, well, I can't do it. I just can't do it. I can't live by faith. I can't be faithful to God. I can't do those things. And they doubt God. They doubt him. And then, boy, that's displeasing. The Bible says that without faith, there's in what? Impossible to please him. Impossible. And God wants your faith to grow. I mean, he showed you the schoolmaster, which was the law, brought us to Christ, and he says, okay, now you live by faith. You can trust my promises. You know what? You know why Abraham is such a great man? Because there was no law. There was nothing. I mean, he just believed God. If a person just believes God, and the Lord says, Abraham, I want you to pack up. I want you to go to the land. I'm going to show you wherever you've touched, your foot touches the ground, I'm going to give it to you. Pack up and go. And Abraham said, okay, Lord, I'll do it. And he went. That's why the Bible says Abraham was a friend of God. He had faith in God. He trusted the Lord. Here we are, we're in the 21st century. Here we got Jesus Christ abiding inside of us through the Holy Ghost. He's inside of us. I mean, we got all the promises of God, and we can't trust God. We can't trust his promises. Abraham didn't even have a Bible. He didn't have it. And man, here we have a Bible. You think the Lord's pleased with the 21st century Christian? No. And we're talking about this Laodicean church age. You think God's pleased with that? No, sir. He's not pleased with that. He said, man, they said, we're rich. We got our rights. Laodicean means we got our rights. We can do what we want. Ain't nobody going to tell us what to do. And that's the way the Christians act today. That's the way it is. But the law, thank God for the law. Thank God. The law showed us that we were no good. The law showed us that we were on our way to hell. The law showed us that we couldn't meet up to God's standard. That's why Jesus Christ paid our sin debt. That's why he did. He kept the law. You know, I heard Don Lemon say this. Don Lemon on CNN said, he said, Jesus Christ wasn't perfect. What a liar. You're saying, you know why? I guess he's a homo. He's saying Jesus Christ wasn't perfect. So Jesus Christ wasn't perfect, and he kept the law on every point. Then he couldn't die and paid nobody's sin debt. Can't believe the audacity of that guy saying that Jesus Christ was not perfect. My Lord, if he wasn't, he was. The Bible says he was tempted in all points, yet without sin. Amen. Yet without sin. He paid our sin debt. And he's given us promises that we can hold on to. Thank God for that. You know, the Bible says, you're talking about conditional promises. Look in Romans chapter 8. Look in Romans 8. Conditional promises. Here's a conditional promise. And I'm going to ask you after to say that you believe these. Amen or oh me. He says, we know that all things work together for them, for good to them that love God. Is that true? You say, well, you don't know what I'm going through. He says, we know, this is something you know, all things work together for good to them that love God. You might not understand it. You might not, you know, right? This in this life, you may never understand it. But God knows. It's a promise, man, but it's conditional. He says, for we know all things work together for good to them that love God and to them who are called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he did also predestinate, be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. What shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? God for you? Do you know something? Do you know that he said, I'll work all things together for good to them who love God? You know the key is? You say, what's the key to that thing? Loving God. Loving the Lord. You're talking about a promise, man. You just love God. You know what? A good thing to say? Every day, you know, a man and a woman gets married and they fall in love. And they love each other. And they said, we'll never want to be separated from each other. And we're googie-eyed at each other all the time. But after a few years, it kind of gets, he's not holding her hand anymore. Linda and I was coming out of Lowe's the other night. And we was holding hands. You know, I like to see people holding hands, married people holding hands. Not guys. Not guys with guys. Not that. But these married people, we were holding hands. And we walked by a lady, and I didn't like what she said. She said, y'all cute couple. Because I don't consider myself cute. And what I did, I didn't go, I said, thank you, ma'am, thank you. And we just kept on walking. But, yeah. Who said that? Look what it says. What shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, Jesus Christ, fulfilled the law in every point, but delivered him up for us all. How shall he not with him also freely give us all things? The key is loving him. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, for who is even at the right hand of God. Don Lemon, he's a liar. Said Jesus Christ wasn't perfect in this life. Who also made intercession for us? If Jesus Christ wasn't perfect in this life and suffered for sin, he was the lamb that taketh away the sins of the world, could not have a spot or blemish. It says, who maketh intercession for us? He's at God's right hand making intercession for you. You know, you say, what is that? Wouldn't it be great? The devil, the Bible says the devil is the accuser of the brethren. He's standing before God accusing us to God, saying, you say they're saved? You say, look where they're at. Look what they're doing. And Jesus Christ steps up and says, Father, I paid to send that. I've washed them. They trusted me as a Savior. I've washed them in the blood. He's making intercession on our behalf. Amen. You know, the Bible tells us the Holy Spirit makes intercession for us. Look at 26. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now, I've talked to different people, read different things on that groaning which cannot be uttered. That's amazing. The Spirit is groaning. Jesus Christ was groaning in spirit. And it said, the Spirit maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. You ever get to a place where you're so broken inside that you couldn't even say a word? And all you could do is go, Look at this, verse 27. He that searches the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. The Spirit of God is inside of us, trying to direct us by the Spirit to do the will of God. That's what he's trying to do in our lives. The key to it, loving God, loving the Lord. If we love God, all things are going to work together for good. All things, no matter what, no matter if it's death or life or disease or whatever, God will use it for his glory. I mean, TJ going through that, what he's going through, we've prayed and prayed for him, and God's kept him alive. I mean, he's not even supposed to be alive. But God will work it out for his glory. We just got to let him. We just got to let him do it. The law was a schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. And you got to realize you are condemned. You are on your way to hell. The night I got saved, I didn't understand all this stuff. I just knew I was going to hell. I knew it without a doubt. And I read that verse this morning. Jesus asked the disciples, who's going to love me the most? He said, I guess those that you've forgiven the most. And comes down to it, God's forgiven us all a lot. A lot. We ought to love him like nobody's business. We ought to wake up in the morning. Morning, Lord. Love you. Amen. Yeah. There was a thing going back around for years saying, you know, make sure you tell the person you love them. And I still do. We always say, love you. But I mean it. Amen. When you tell the Lord you love him, mean it. And, man, just love him more. Say, Lord, help me love you more. If I can love you more, help me love you more. And you know, Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my what? And my words. If you love him, you'll do it. Nobody has to watch you. Nobody has to put a guard on you to make sure you're doing right there. You know, I'm not going to chase you around to make sure you're going to do right. I'm not sneaking around your house and not sneaking around where you're living and working and all that stuff, trying to find you do something wrong. I'm not trying to do that. I don't want to do that. I pray that you'd fall more in love with him. And I pray that I would fall in love with him more. And my kids, my grandkids would fall in love with him. That will help you a lot, falling in love with God. Realizing I was condemned. The whole Ryman family were condemned to hell. We had a curse on us. And God came by. I just said, Lord, I reached out. And boy, what a savior. I never want to get over. For we know all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. When you start feeling low and feel like quitting, just remember how much he loved you, how much he proved he loved you and took care of you. And he does take care of us. We might not have all we want, but we have all we need. And he'll provide for us. We lived 7 months in this church right here in the basement at the church when our house burnt down. And my wife said to me, what is God doing? I said, he's doing right. Whatever he's doing right. I said, I deserve. My son got run over by a car, house burnt down, all kinds of stuff. I said, I deserve anything I get. And God's doing right, and I'm not going to accuse him falsely. I'm not going to tell God you're wrong because I know he's not wrong. But I know he worked it together for good. He worked it all together for good. Amen. All right, we'll stop right there. Amen. Lord, thank you.